Church, I want to say thank you so much for, first of all, for allowing us to be a part of your mission program and outreach and these many years. We've been on the mission field 20 years, and your church has been supporting us at least 15, if not longer than that. And we so do appreciate your faithfulness and your prayers for us and appreciate your participation in the ministry of Papua New Guinea. And I want to say thank you so much for allowing your pastor to travel and to, you may say, man, I wish I could do that. Well, join him. But you really don't understand the impact of your pastor on the mission field like us as missionaries. And he has been an impact in our lives, the missionaries' lives, in the lives of the people that he ministers to. And I just want to say thank you for giving up your time with him and sharing him with others. It means a lot. And as a missionary, being a recipient of his ministry, we appreciate so much. It is exciting to be able to be here with Brother Stan and Teresa Rowe. And man, it's... I'm checking up on him, seeing if the stories that he tells is true or not. But no, this is the first missions conference that we've been able to share together, and it's very special for me. Brother Stan and Teresa and his children are very special and have played a vital role in the ministry, and wow, and I'm looking forward to what God's going to do with us and our ministries working together in the Bible school and in WOW, and I'm excited about their move to WOW, and I'm excited about how God is going to bless it in the future. And I just appreciate Brother Stan and Teresa and their family and how that we can work together. And it is a privilege to be able to work with people who have the same zeal and desire, and it's just a wonderful thing. And so pray for us, and pray for the Rowe family. On the back table, you'll see our display. Please go by and look at the bugs. But take our prayer cards and pray for us. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy. And I want to look at verse number 17. Book Deuteronomy, chapter number 7. Book Deuteronomy, chapter number 7. And we'll begin reading in verse number 17. Deuteronomy, chapter number 7. And we'll begin reading in verse number 17. Again, we've been praying for this conference for several months, and just seeking God's will in our lives and what to preach and teach on, and to how we can be a blessing to you. And we've been praying for God to just allow us to have a heart, my heart in particular, to be open, receptive, and to be willing to follow the Lord's leading in whatever area of our lives. And I trust that's your heart also. And I trust that has been your prayer. Lord, teach me. Show me your will in my life. And help me to follow your will in my life. And so I hope that is your prayer. And I hope that this week, these next 2 days, 3 days, will be an encouragement to you. And that there will be decisions that will be made to honor and glorify the Lord. And you found Deuteronomy chapter number 7. Let's begin reading, and I'll read, and you follow along in verse number 17. If thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all of Egypt. Verse number 21. Thou shalt not be affrighted at them, for the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and terrible. Let's bow and ask the Lord's blessing upon this evening. Father, we've asked you, I'm asking you once again to use your word to help and grow our faith, to trust you to a greater degree as we look at missions, as we look at what this church or what we can do individually and as a church as a whole, what we can do for the furtherance of the gospel in the regions beyond. And Father, I pray that tonight, as your word is taught, help me to be able to proclaim and to speak with clarity your words, and help our hearts to be open and receptive to your word, and that through it you would be glorified and honored because of the changes and decisions that are made in our lives. We love you and we thank you for all that you've done for us. Please be honored tonight with the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We find here, you know, 38 years previously to this, Israel had come to this same point and place in their lives where their fathers had the same opportunity to stand before and look at the promised land. You know the story and how that 12 spies went into the promised land and to spy it out. And we know the story how that 12 came back and 10 reported and says, no, we can't do that. And two come back, Caleb and Joshua said, yes, we can. God is with us and God is for us, and we can go in and we can conquer the land that God has given us. 38 years as a result of the fear, if you read the text, 38 years because of fear and afraid of their hearts, the 10 men who came back with a negative report brought fear in the lives of the children of Israel, where they come to a point where they said, no, we cannot go in that promised land. We cannot have the victory, and we just don't trust the Lord. As a result of that, you know the story, 38 years now they wandered in the wilderness. 38 years they seen the hand of God, they seen the miracles, they seen things that take place, but 38 years the younger generation seen their father pass away. They seen their grandfathers pass away. And one by one they've all been that elder generation who was had that choice and that chance to an opportunity to be able to go into the promised land, they have now passed off the scene. We come now to this new generation, and Moses is about ready to will not be able to enter into the promised land, but we find that Moses is giving one of the last challenges to the people. And in the challenge he says, say not, if thou shalt say in thine heart. This evening I want to challenge you with the thought here is everything that we do, and in particular this missions conference, is an attitude of the heart. And we are giving an opportunity, and God is giving each one of us an opportunity to serve Him to a greater degree. And we're going to be challenged to give our lives. We're going to be challenged to give our money. We're going to be challenged to do something more than what we've done before. And some of us are going to come to a point in our lives where, well, as the children of Israel, in our heart, maybe not vocally to the pastor or vocally to one another or to your spouses, but in your heart, the place where you and God alone knows. And you'll say, I can't do that. That's not my gift. I don't have that ability. I could never. Lord, are you sure? And there's going to come a time where we're going to, or we may say in our heart, but understand it's in our heart that decisions are made. It's in our heart that out of the heart are the issues of life. In fact, we find that previously to this, in chapter number 6, we find that Moses is telling the people and reminding them in verse number 5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. That same wording is found with Jesus telling us, we need to love the Lord with all our heart. See, God is interested in our heart. And the attitudes of our heart will determine the victories in our lives. Or the lack of victories. God is, I believe God, as I prayed and as we studied, God is giving us as individuals and as a church collectively, God is giving us new opportunities. to do some great things for Him in this year. But what does our heart say? God is interested in our heart. Webster defines a heart as a seat of will, a purpose, of intention, or design. It is a heart that we need to guard, and it's a heart that decisions are made, and is a heart that God looks at and considers. In fact, Psalms 139 and verse number 1 says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsetting, my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. God knows us. God knows our heart. And because God knows our heart, and it, God instructs Moses to tell Israel, if thou shalt say in thine heart, say in thine heart, these nations are more than I. How can I dispossess them? Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all of Egypt. The first thought here, and if we are going to have the proper attitude in our relationship with God and doing what God wants us to do, and if we are going to enter into new opportunities that the Lord sets before us, we cannot have these attitudes of fear, first of all. The first attitude that we need to consider and to look at is this attitude of fear. It was fear that kept Israel from going into the promised land. It is now said again. And is reminded, and Moses is reminding the children of Israel, don't say in your heart, I can't do this. Don't allow fear to dictate to you what you can and cannot do. You know, it's interesting that fear is one of those things that keeps people out of heaven. Revelation 21:8, it talks about what? What's the first statement that is made? But the, what? But the fearful and the unbelieving. I find that interesting in that I would think, well, isn't it belief that allows a person to go into heaven? But what is it? Why is fearful precedes the unbelieving? My conclusion to that is this. Because many times we allow fear to keep us from believing. We know the truth, but then, well, what will my pastor say? What will my brother say? What will my dad say? What will my mom say? How will my coworkers? And because of fear of people and circumstances and situations, will keep people from believing and giving their lives to the Lord. I hope you're not like that. I hope that you have given your life to the Lord, and I hope that you're not allowing fear to keep you out of heaven and by not believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it is fear that causes us as Christians not to, that keeps us from doing what God wants us to do. I remember when God began to work in my life as a teenager to go to New Guinea, or not to go to New Guinea, but to be a missionary. It was a missions conference like this. And God began to work in my life, and I am a very introverted, quiet individual. And there is no way. I got a D-minus-minus in my speech class. I vowed never to stand before people again. But God began to work in my life. And God, you got to be desperate. I've never done this before. How can I stand before people? I can't even give a speech. I said, okay, Lord, here's my life. Whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, I'm willing to do that. Was I afraid? Yes. Are there circumstances and situations that are fearful in New Guinea? Yes. Stan reminded me today about, we were driving down the road and a guy was standing on the side of the road with a gun. And I was thinking about, hey, who's that? What does he want? He waved and He was waving us on so they could hold up the PMV behind us, a public motor vehicle that was carrying out a lot of people instead of us. And Stan said, give it, give it, give it, go, 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 go. There's fearful moments. But we cannot allow, well, I've never taught before, I've never done that before, I've never witnessed before, I've never, and we can all say, there's certain things that we've never done. But you'll never know the victory in your life until you surrender and say, Lord, I'm fearful, but I'm willing to do it. I don't know what the future may hold, but I'm giving it to you. I've never done this before, but Lord, if this is what you want, I want to do it. We cannot come to a point in our lives, as did the children of Israel, allowing fear to dictate to us what we can and cannot do. Yes, there are times of fear, but the tragedy comes when we surrender, when we cave in to our fears and neglect to do what God wants us to do. So he says it here in verse number 17, if thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? Thou shalt not be afraid. God may be instructing you and may be calling you, may be asking of you to do something that you have not yet done. And there's fear that grips your heart. Don't let fear have the victory. Just like the children of Israel allowing fear to control and to make that decisive moment of not going in and trusting God and not going into the promised land. Many times we miss out on God's blessing and we never see what God is truly about and for His plan in our lives because we allow fear to dictate us. Dictate to us what we should and should not do. Don't let fear be the controlling part in your life, that deciding part of your life to determine God, what God wants to do in your life. Say, Lord, help me. Here's my life. Whatever you want me to do, I'm willing to do it. Psalms 27 verse number 1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength and my life. Whom shall I be afraid? Put our faith and trust and acknowledging that God knows and wants us to do something great for Him. Trusting the Lord with our lives. Turn with me to Deuteronomy in chapter number 8. Not only let fear, say not in your heart, not allowing fear to dictate to us what we can and cannot do for the Lord, but here's another attitude of the heart that we need to guard against. We find it in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse number 10. Chapter 8, verse number 10, it says, well, let's go on, verse number 17. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. He is dealing with an attitude of the heart, and the attitude of the heart is that of self-reliance, an attitude of, don't say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. Don't come to when you go in, you need to remember, when you go into the promised land, you need to remember that it is God who is giving you the victory. It is God who is giving you these cities. It is God. It is not your power. It is not your strength. And we must remember that even today. What we have today is not because of our strength, not because of our wisdom, and not because of our education, not because of just because we're here. It is God. It is God. And we must remember that. If we don't guard against self-reliance, then we become self-confident, which brings about pride, arrogancy, and leads to an attitude of, I don't need God. After all, look what I've done. Beware. Guard against it. A self-reliant, an attitude of confidence in ourselves. We are to be confident, but our confidence is not in ourselves, it is in God. And that should be reflected in our attitudes towards God. God, thank you. An attitude of God confidence, an attitude that God can, and an attitude of thank you, God, for what you've done for us. I think that's reflected in when we sit down to eat and our prayer for the food. Do we sit down and just shovel it in and, man, that was great. What's for dessert? Or do we go before God and say, thank you, God, for providing? See, there's an attitude. And it's an attitude that is demonstrated in our eating habits, but it's also an attitude that we demonstrate in our giving, in our service for the Lord. It's an attitude, it's like Brother Scott, I appreciate their family and allowing us to be a part of in their home, and they have been such a great host. And I don't mean to embarrass them or draw attention to them, but they have a nice garden. Or now it's not nice, it's just a plot of dirt, but where chickens claw the dirt. But we have participated in eating some of the produce that came out of their garden. Oh, those pickles are wonderful. But you know what? It would be crazy. After the harvest, after all the hard work and the harvest, and is it Sarah? Not to embarrass her. But Sarah would come in and bring a shovel and say, hey, before we participate in this food that we gathered out of the harvest, let's all say thank you to the shovel for all its hard work. And we'd look at Sarah and say, man, are you crazy? Why would we say thank you to a shovel? What did it do? And I can imagine Brother Scott saying, man, it was me. It was my sweat. It was my hard work. It was my muscles aching that went out and did the work. Man, why are you wanting to applaud and thank this shovel? But we do the same thing. When we, after all the accomplishments that God has allowed us to participate in and do and see and witness, we say, yeah, man, look what I've done. And I imagine God is saying, shh, man, you are just dust. If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't be able to do anything. Don't take the credit for something that God is doing in your life. And as a missionary, I have to be careful, because sometimes we make statements as, this is my church. That's not my church. This is what I've done. And I am guilty of saying that, but understand the heart of it. It's not me. It's God. It is God that brings people to Him. It is God that uses His Word. It is God who builds a church. It is God. And we have to, as missionaries, we have to be careful of reflecting that to God. But as individuals, Christians, we have to be careful that everything that we have, the new job, the new car, the house, the food that we eat, the church that we have to be very careful to reflect the glory back to God. He is instructing, if we don't do that, then we become prideful and look at what I've done. Look what I've accomplished. I. Self-reliance. It is God. It is God who works in our hearts and our lives, and we should reflect the glory. And here Moses is instructing Israel to make sure that you don't become self-reliant and give your heart over to become prideful and neglect who truly allowed you to accomplish the things that you're allowed to accomplish. It is God. And we need to be very thankful and grateful for what God has done and is doing and will continue to do. Help us to have a heart that is sensitive and that is acceptance of God, thank you. Everything that I have is because of you. Thank you. An attitude of thankfulness, an attitude of self-reliance we need to guard against. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter number 9. Deuteronomy chapter number 9, another attitude of the heart that we need to consider and to look at, and that is is an attitude of self-righteousness. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse number 1 through 6. Let's look at verse number 4. Deuteronomy chapter number 9 and verse number 4. Speak not thou in thine heart. After that, the Lord thy God has cast him out before thee, saying, for my righteousness, the Lord hath brought me into possess this land. Now look at this statement. But for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord doth drive them out from before thee. Not for thy righteousness, or for the uprightness of thine heart, dost thou go to possess their land, but for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee, that he may perform the word which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Understand therefore that the Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness, for thou art. And what does it say, the last three words? A stiff-necked people. We need to guard against a self-righteous attitude. Moses is instructing the children of Israel, God hasn't chose you because you are special. God hasn't chose you because you are who you are. But I have chosen you as a nation to come into this promised land because not that you're a good people, but these people here are worse than you. You are a stiff-necked people. You're a rebellious people. Your hearts are not right. But in spite of that, I have chosen you to go in and take care of this other nations. We need to be very careful in our lives. In a time of missions conference and considering, in fact, our relationship and our fellowship with the Lord, there are times that come where if our heart is not right and we're struggling financially, or we're struggling physically, or we're struggling with a very difficult issue in our lives, we may say something like this: Lord, I don't deserve this. Lord, why is this happening to me? After all, I give to missions, I give my tithe, I come Sunday, I do this, I do this, I do this, and we can list everything that we do. Don't become like Israel. God blesses us in spite of who we are. But don't come to a point in our lives where we feel that God owes us because of our righteousness. We are not righteous. And truth be known, the Bible declares that all our righteousness is as filthy rags. And it's only because of the grace of God and God's love and His righteousness that we're here. We cannot come to a point in our lives where we are not only self-reliant, but we cannot be self-reliant, but we cannot be self-righteous thinking of what God owes us. We always need to remember who we are in Christ and never come to a point in our lives where we feel like we deserve more. God is instructing Moses to instruct the children of Israel, I'm not choosing you because you are a righteous person. You're a stiff-necked person. Don't get a big head over this. And as Christians, we need to be very careful of the attitude of the heart that says, I deserve, when in fact, what we deserve is hell. And it's only by the grace of God that we're here and that we can worship the Lord with a heart that is true. Another attitude that I want to take a look at and consider this evening, an attitude towards selfishness that we need to guard against. Chapter 15 of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 15. Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verses number 7 through 14. I want you to take and read that. Maybe later on, but I want to draw our attention to Deuteronomy chapter number 15, 7 through 14. Verse number 7, it talks about, if there be among you a poor man, of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother. But thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth. Verse number 9, look at this. Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the 7 years, the year of release, is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy brother, poor brother. And thou givest him not, for he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee. Thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works, and in all that thou puttest thine hand unto. In the middle part of verse number 11, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother and thy poor and to thy needy in thy land. It is an attitude of the heart about our giving, about our substance, about what God has given to us. It's an attitude of selfishness, an attitude that God is warning the children of Israel about. You're going to go into a land, and there are going to be poor people, and there's going to be people of need. And on the seventh year, it's talking about the seventh year of release, and if somebody comes to you, and they need a loan, they need something, and you are to give them a loan. You're to help them out. But on that seventh year, many people understanding the law says, oh, sorry, I'm not going to give you a loan. I'm going to be closed-fisted. I know the year of release is coming up, and it's only 6 months away, so really you're not going to be able to pay me back. And so, sorry, I'm not going to help you. And they're closed-fisted. Because they see a need in a brother, and they see that it's not an opportunity for them to receive back or get paid back, and so they're closed-fisted about helping. It's an attitude of selfishness, an attitude of, this is mine. Again, the warning was previously, everything that you have is God's. He is the one that has given you. And now you're coming to a point in your life where you're closed-fisted and you're not willing to help? There's an attitude that we need to consider in our lives as well. Are we closed-fisted? Are we an individual who has been blessed by God to be closed-fisted and not help? The greatest need and the greatest way that we can help any individual is by telling them the good news of Jesus Christ. And help to proclaim that good news through our giving and help in that aspect of our lives. We need to be guarded against this attitude of selfishness, a closed-fisted attitude, an attitude of, I'm not giving, I'm not going to help, I'm not going to do something when I'm able and can do something. But understand, he says, as a result, the thought of thy wicked heart, having an attitude of not willing to give of what God has given to us, a wicked heart. But notice it's an attitude of how we give. Verse number 10, I want you to give, but I want you to give, surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved. I want you to give because you love me. I want you to give, not because it's going to grieve you. I want you to have a heart, right heart attitude, a heart right attitude that says, I love you, God. And I understand that what you have given me is yours. And I'm just helping to meet a need of someone in Africa. I'm helping to meet a need of somebody in Papua New Guinea. I'm helping to meet a need of salvation in Mexico, through my giving. Help us, our prayer tonight. Lord, guard my heart. I don't want to be selfish. I don't want to be closed-fisted. I don't want to be one who sees a need and not being able to give towards those needs. In particular, the thought of reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. God, help my heart. Guard against me. Guard, help me to guard. I don't want to be selfish. I don't want to have an attitude of self-righteousness. It's not something that I talk about. It's not something that I... But it's an attitude of the heart. Guard me. Help me. God, I want to have a heart that's not self-reliant, not self-righteous. God, I don't want to have a heart that is fearful and that is unwilling to step out in faith and trust you to do more in my life. Attitudes of the heart. Those words were given to Moses before the children of Israel entered into the promised land. And as you read the children of Israel, those characteristics showed up. It's a good reminder for us tonight. There's attitudes of our heart that we need to be careful about. If we are going to be a church that pleases God, our hearts. It's not how we dress. It's not our outward. But it's a heart that only God sees. Don't say in the heart. For out of the heart are the issues of life. For out of the heart the mouth speaketh. Out of the heart determines our direction and our attitudes towards others, towards ministry. It determines the attitude towards our giving, attitudes towards our service. God, help me this week and the months to come to have the right heart. Because I want to be victorious in my Christian life. And I want to see your blessing upon my life. And I don't want to see I want to see changes made. But Lord, you have to change my heart. Guard my heart that I might please you with what I say, what I do. It starts in the heart. And this missions conference, truthfully, it's an attitude of the heart. Let's search our hearts. As David prayed, Lord, search me. Let God search each one of us, that our hearts may be willing to do what God wants us to do. He may want one of you to go to a mission field, teach a Sunday school class. He wants all of us to be a witness. Our heart will determine how effective we will be. Let's have a heart that will love God and to serve Him. Father, I pray that I communicated properly the words that you've put in my heart, and help each one of us to consider the points that you've instructed Moses to instruct Israel, that would be for us to guard against in our own lives. We love you. We thank you. Help us to serve you with our whole heart. In Jesus' name I pray.